The information on the Robert Scott Bell Show has not been approved by the Food and Drug Administration and is not intended to prevent, cure, treat, or diagnose any disease. Nah, just kidding. As far as we're concerned, the FDA can kiss our
ass. Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Things really suck, but you know what? If it wasn't for me, they would suck worse.
What are you talking about? What do you mean by that?
Robert Scott Bell.
No family making less than $250,000 a year will see any form of tax increase.
That's a lie. That's just an outright lie.
Why don't you tell the people the truth for a change?
Robert Scott Bell.
I don't know why people on the other side are so doggone stupid that they think that the federal government's going to produce jobs.
Stupid is, stupid does, sir.
I want to see that we guarantee that this generation is healthier.
If you want to go to a naturopath or a homeopath, no. That's not approved by the government.
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom and making sense out of medical propaganda. The voice of health, freedom, and liberty, Robert Scott Bell.
In a poll conducted in South Carolina over the weekend, the question was, who would you rather eat grits with? Newt Romney, Mitt Gingrich, or Santorum? Well, evidently, everybody wants to eat grits with Newt Gingrich. What is that all about? South Carolina? Hey, don't worry about it, because this is a circus sideshow in South Carolina. Not that South Carolinians are about circuses and sideshows, but the Republican Party evidently went 40% out of 100% for Newt Gingrich this past weekend in their primary. Super Don, I am not too concerned, because the big picture is the short-term, let's say, how would we say, entertainment value of having Newt Gingrich win now that we got three different winners. Ron Paul quietly coming up in behind everybody, but gaining on them. And we'll talk about how much, in fact, the gain is happening, four or five times the amount of votes that happened 4 years ago. So some good things in the political healing front here as we crank up Advanced Political Medicine Monday for a little while before we bring up Dr. Bitar.
Absolutely. You know, be look. Got to hand it to him. Gingrich pulled it off. And why not? You know, we got one state for Romney. We got one state for, you know, Santorum, or the social issue suck up crusader.
Yes.
And now we've got one for Gingrich. You know, congratulations, guys. You know.
Well, it's
in the end, though, you know, the bottom line, and this was something that Ron Paul brought up in his, what I consider a victory speech. A lot of people look at you funny and go, victory speech?
Yeah, how did
that wasn't
place,
a victory speech. But, you know, he's got a strategy that I think the other guys don't have. And it just shows that he's kind of a long-term thinker in this contest.
By the way, welcome and good morning and good afternoon to everybody. The Robert Scott Bell Show kicks off another week of healing in media like nowhere else in media. And, of course, we've got well, we've got Advanced Medicine with Dr. Bitar. We're going to be covering a few stories I need to heads up on, especially the mysterious 12 in Leroy, New York. I covered it yesterday on my program. I've asked Dr. Bitar to chime in even more on that subject matter. Also, the redefining autism. You heard about that? We'll ask Dr. Bitar to comment on that. Psychosomatic illnesses, or is it mass hysteria, or is it mass psychogenic illnesses? I mean, there's some bizarre stuff. A rotavirus vaccine is in the news. They don't want you to breastfeed your baby because it might harm the vaccine. Never mind the people. Those are probably the same people that voted for Newt Gingrich. We'll get to that. But I want you to hear, in fact, Don, Super Don, you mentioned that Ron Paul's speech after South Carolina, where he placed fourth, sounded like a victory speech. But indeed, you are right. He has a strategy the other guys don't have, considering Santorum and Newt are not even on the ballots in all 50 states. But let's give a listen to uplift and energize our Monday here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. Here's Ron Paul following the South Carolina results.
There's been now three elections, and a total of 37 delegates have been chosen so far. Less than 2%, like 1.5%. This is the beginning of a long, hard slog. So we will certainly be promoting this in the most frugal way. We will be going to the caucus states, and we will be promoting the whole idea of getting more delegates, because that's the name of the game, and we will pursue it. The one thing we can say about our campaign, have you ever noticed other candidates going up and then down, up and then down? So far, I am very proud to say that our efforts is steady growth. It's steady growth like this. Even compared to 4 years ago, it looks like tonight we will get 4 to 5 times more votes than we did 4 years ago. Let me tell you how proud I am of all the supporters and all the efforts made in this. And just believe me, thank you very much. Keep up the good work. We have the message. We have the talent. We have the determination. And we will win this battle for peace and prosperity. Thank you.
Yeah, baby, that was Ron Paul.
What can you say to that, right?
You know how uplifting it is when you hear that? And it's so different from the other candidates who always run these scripts and things. And then it's all about them, too. You talk about an ego trip, the egomaniacs, a lot of in politics, it's all about me, me, me. And for Ron, it's all about the message, and it's all about the future. It's all about you. It's all about – I had messages on my Facebook page from this weekend, because I was talking about – let's see where, you know, what's the status of everything? And remember last Friday we had Tom Woods on. We were talking about Operation Grandma, and that's become another popular YouTube as far as how do we talk to our elders? How do we talk to our parents and grandparents about it? And had some nice messages about some people who are grandparents and great grandparents saying, listen, I am for Ron Paul, all because I may not live long enough to see it, but I'm for my kids and grandkids to make sure that they have a land of liberty to live in. And there's a lot of concern about this. There's a big news, I think, on Drudge Report I saw this morning that was linking to a significant portion of the population. I don't know what the percentage was. Maybe you saw this, Don. Said that there are now people preparing for disaster. Preppers, right? You've heard. We've done shows on prepping. In fact, Mike Adams and I did a whole seminar on preparing for inevitable disasters. And now they're finally paying attention. It's like, wow, people are realizing something's up here. And something is up here. Newt Gingrich won South Carolina. Prepare for the end of the world.
What's up with that?
No, it's all right. Everything, you know, life is going to continue. We talk about that. But at the same time, the rational thing to do is like this Patty Tegeler. It's in this story. Reuters covered it. I've got it linked up. Looks out the window of her home overlooking the Appalachian Mountains in southeastern Virginia. And she sees trouble on the horizon. In an instant, anything can happen, she told Reuters, and I firmly believe that you have to be prepared. See, that is a rational, calm person. That's not one that's freaking out. It's just like, my goodness. But they're trying to relegate preppers as some kind of extreme movement that could be a threat to, I don't know. I mean, my goodness, they're prepared to help themselves, and perhaps then they can help other people. How awful. You're not relying on the government.
And if you look at what she's got, you know, she's got a large generator. She's got portable heaters, water tanks, a 2-year supply of freeze-dried food that her sister recently gave to her as a birthday present. So, I mean, it was given to her as a gift anyway. But
I love that.
You know, what's wrong with being prepared when you look around around the world, or even just here at home, mm-hmm. you know, on our own shores, when you look at things that, you know, that happen, like what happened in Hurricane Katrina.
Right.
Or, you know, I mean, imagine earthquakes or floods or anything of that nature, being prepared. What's wrong with that?
Don, imagine if in Hurricane Katrina, the people there had basically taken the advice of preppers like this woman who's 57 and said, all right, I'm going to have at least a few days of food and water.
But wait a minute.
Knowing that a hurricane may be coming.
Wait a minute. That makes her a terrorist, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, because she did have 2 years of supply. If anything over
I heard you're a terrorist if you've got 7 days. She's got 2 years. That makes her the equivalent of Osama bin Laden, doesn't
she's
it?
She's got to be on every post office everywhere. I mean, it's silly and it's stupid, but it's serious as well, because whether it be the NDAA, whether it be these other things, we're talking about reclassifying Americans as terrorists based on just absurd properties, if you will, of people doing what all the religious texts on planet Earth described to do, just to prepare for disasters that come. I mean, for goodness sake, you remember the story of Joseph in the Bible, you know, preparing the 7 years of famine, whatever it is. I mean, these are things that have happened throughout recorded history, probably beyond recorded history. And if you aren't prepared, it's, you know, you look for a third party, a deus ex machina, as you go from the Greek tragedies. It just kind of falls out of the sky and beams you up to the Star Trek Enterprise. Not likely going to happen if that's what you're counting on. You look, unless your transporter is ready right now, it's not going to be ready the day you need it.
Beam me up, Scotty.
Yeah. But then again, we have, again, I don't want to ignore Newt Gingrich because he's the guy, the spotlight in South Carolina. And if you want to hear a different kind of, I won, look at me, I am all about, I just, it's all about me. Listen to the difference here as we got a clip of Gingrich talking about, what is it, the values that he holds, or are they the same as the American people? This is amazing.
This was part of his victory speech that just jumped out at me.
All right.
It's not that I am a good debater. It is that I articulate the deepest felt values of the American people. It's not that I am a good debater. It is that I articulate the deepest felt values of the American people.
I had to play that twice.
I had to play that again. The deepest held values of the American people.
Yeah.
You know, I found this website. I think it's called NewtExposed.com.
Oh, no, I don't want to see that.
No, well, no. It's not rated X, I promise.
Okay.
But, yeah, that would be horrible. but no, they put together a list of stuff about Newt Gingrich I hadn't seen before. And I read down this list and I was like, holy cow, you're telling me 40% of South Carolina, the Republicans voted for this guy? I mean, we're talk about a big government, liberal guy. You know, he raised the debt ceiling four times. He co-sponsored the Fairness Doctrine. He supported NAFTA. He supported the GATT Treaty. He's been totally anti-gun. I mean, he's done all kinds of stuff that's, basically gun control. You know, I mean, he was fined by the Republican Congress $300,000 for ethics violations.
Yeah, wasn't that amazing? And this is, evidence to me that South Carolina would go him 40%. Of course, Romney was in there. Santorum was in there. Then Ron Paul. But again, remember, four to five times the amount of votes he got 4 years ago. Huge.
Well, and I gotta ask. I mean, yeah. He says the deeply held values of America. Are those the deeply held values of America? Global warming with Nancy Pelosi, voting for TARP. He said he would have voted for the $700 billion TARP bailout had he had the opportunity to do so.
Well, and you mentioned, Don, the Fairness Doctrine that he was in support of, but how does he explain it away? He says,
at the time, he wanted it because it would have silenced the left-wing media.
There you go.
Now
He's not for the First Amendment then. I mean, that's the whole thing about this.
No. He's not for the First Amendment if it is applied towards a liberal point of view.
Well, exactly. It's a blanket thing at that point. Yeah. And see, this was the argument against the Fairness Doctrine, why Reagan wanted it overturned, because it stifles freedom of speech. Now, the First Amendment was written to protect speech you don't like. So that's why I say Gingrich was against the First Amendment. But hey, that's not a big stretch, understanding that you've got Republican and Democrats in Congress, in the Senate, supporting things like the Patriot Act, basically the abolition of the Fourth Amendment. So it's not like it's new news, but for the so-called Southern conservatives to go for Gingrich means that they are all hopped up on fluoride, taking Prozac, on numerous drugs, completely deficient of vitamins, minerals, and trace minerals, eating Twinkies every day, fried, no doubt. And I don't mean to pick on everybody in South Carolina, because yesterday's show, if you missed the Robert Scott Bell Show through the Genesis Communications Network, I do on Sunday, I had one of my dear friends from the organic racing team, Kevin Bolton. He went there for a day and ended up spending 3 days there with all the supporters out there. And he had made hundreds of calls, said he never even found a Gingrich supporter on all those calls he made. So it's suspicious as well. I will acknowledge that the vote is suspicious in that, where were all these Gingrich supporters coming out, except to say maybe the young people didn't turn out in the numbers that are necessary. And maybe the young people hadn't heard about Operation Grandma that we talked about with Tom Woods either. And so there's a little bit of work to do. But what else has Gingrich found out here? Supporting the GATT Treaty, surrendering sovereignty to what? The United Nations. The UN.
Yay.
We love that organization. The global, if you want to talk about the bureaucratic oligarchy and a disastrous, let's say, dysfunctional organization, the UN is your poster boy.
Well, I suppose Gingrich thinks that a deeply held value of the American people is surrendering your sovereignty to the United Nations. I mean, that's what he said. He said that he articulates that, you know, talk about family values. I saw something kind of funny yesterday.
Yeah.
I saw this picture of Newt Gingrich, and under it, it says family values.
Uh-huh.
Using daughters from your first wife to convince everyone that your second wife is lying about your third wife. Family values.
The deepest felt values of the American people.
Right. See, I don't know. Apparently the deeply held values of 40% of South Carolina.
Well, I guess everybody secretly wants to have three wives at the same time. I mean, this is a value that Newt Gingrich obviously holds. And remember in the opening of the South Carolina debate, not to belabor this, but I want to help you understand how the media operates. It's like somebody would say, well, John King really was trying to get a gotcha moment with Gingrich here. But to me, it was almost a setup because Gingrich knows how to handle the media. He knows that it's like feeding him red meat. Go after him and watch Gingrich turn it around and go, yes, you're trying to attack me. And he attacks back. And the crowd absolutely roars at that point. And I think they like that because the people of South Carolina genuinely do not like the mainstream, old, polluted, toxic media. And so feeding him that piece of red meat, Gingrich was able to just go on the attack, and everybody goes, aha, he's our man. He'll attack Obama, and we want him to attack Obama that way. But it's not. It's very, yeah, let's say it's a guttural response. It's a knee-jerk response. It's more emotionalism rather than taking a step back and going, can he really beat Obama in the fall? No, he's
well,
not
you
even
know,
on.
There, you have to take into consideration the number of people that are simply looking for somebody to beat Obama, and that's it. They aren't looking at what that person really stands for. They're not concerned about mistakes that they've made in the past or character issues that might influence things they may do in the future. They're kind of setting those things aside and giving him a pass.
Right.
Because they're all they're looking for is the horse that's going to win the race. Because it's so more important to them to beat Obama than it is to elect somebody with principles or with ideas that really matter.
And I don't think the Republican Party gets this yet fully, even though they've been warned that the Ron Paul supporters and the supporters of that message and mission are not Republicans by, let's say, their DNA. They're literally coming into the party simply to support Ron Paul and that message. And if they diss him more, if they ignore him more, if they try to trash him and get him out of there, the Republican Party, no matter who they throw, Romney, it doesn't matter. They can get a white knight coming out on a white horse at the end. They're not going to win. And that's the point. This isn't as much about beating Obama as it is being for something. See, that's the difference. In the Republican Party, the old way, and this is the Hegelian dialectic that you love it when I bring it up, right? The right, left,
yes,
and the false one.
The Hegelian dialect.
Yes. It's all about we got to beat the bad guy, yet we recognize now that they're both bad guys in a sense. Ron Paul comes in and is like, hey, listen, I don't play that game. Lobbyists don't even come to visit me. Yes, it's about beating one guy that's not doing a great job, let's just say it bluntly, but at the same time, if it means just replacing with another guy that basically does the same thing with a little different rhetoric, no, not happening. We're over this at this point. And that's the difference of what's happening, the conscious awareness, the shift that is taking place.
Yep. No, it's, you know, that, and you're right. It's just the same strategy, the same principles. They're just wearing a different color shirt. They're not going to do anything different. They're just going to continue the same thing that has gotten us into the trouble that we're in now. And, you know, there's only one guy that is going to do anything that is different, that is bold. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, that's the guy that, you know, majority of people are saying can't win.
You know, and the economic collapse that we've been talking about for a long time that I did the special seminar with Mike Adams about, this is something that unless it happens, there's still an opportunity for the bad guys to win on either side because enough people think, well, it's everything's going along fine. It's not great, but it's not. We're okay, right? Still under that illusion. If indeed hyperinflation of any kind hits, then of course Ron Paul's a shoo-in because he's the only guy that's been talking about this. And the only reason he is not leading every poll, even the ones that are corrupt, is because people are still under the illusion that things, well, they'll get better. They're not going to get better unless you change course. This is kind of the message that he's been delivering for 30 plus years. So we've got lots of healing to do on the air. I just wanted to open up with some political advanced medicine Monday here for you, just to give you perspective. And it's not bad news out of South Carolina. Just because Ron Paul took fourth, He took 4 or 5 times the number of votes as 4 years ago, and he's on the ballot in every state, and he's got a plan to gather those delegates up, and it's all bets are off once that Republican convention happens in Tampa later in the year.
Yes, so...
All right.
All right. Well, good show coming up here. Let's articulate the deeply held values of American
yes.
people. What do you say?
Huh? Right. We articulate that breast milk is better than vaccination, but some at the CDC do not agree with us here. We're going to go into that story. We also have a moment of duh. Remember Dr. Bitar. We're going to talk about the mysterious 12 that are ailing in Leroy, New York, redefining autism, the reason why, and more. On the Robert Scott Bell Show, robertscottbell.com, naturalnewsradio.com. Enter your email address for all the great alerts. 866-939-BELL, 866-939-2355. We'll try to get your calls as well. We'll be right back.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hello, this is Jonathan Wagner. We have an internet website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, that carries many of the products discussed on Robert's show, including 100% whole food chromium and selenium, silica, as well as sovereign silver and Nordic naturals. Choosetobehealthy.com features the Rolls Royce of probiotics. It's Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Dr. O'Hara, a world-renowned microbiologist, formulated a unique probiotic that blends ancient Japanese fermentation methods with 21st century technology. No refrigeration is needed. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics contains the strongest lactic acid bacteria known to man based on scientific laboratory research. 6.25 times stronger. Quite simply, it works and works very well. So go to our website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, or call us toll-free, 866-424-1077. That's 866-424-1077. We're here to help.
For thousands of years, silver has played an essential role in safeguarding human health. Robert Scott Bell Show listeners know that Sovereign Silver, bioactive silver hydrosol, is the purest and most effective form of silver available. Only Sovereign Silver contains the smallest and most active particles in every bottle, each batch rigorously safety tested to guarantee the highest quality. At only 10 parts per million, Sovereign Silver outperforms other colloidal silvers 50 times more concentrated. Sovereign Silver acts faster than echinacea, oil of oregano, and other immune products. Like water and has more uses than anything else for the immune system. And Sovereign Silver now comes in a topical first aid gel. Use Sovereign Silver gel on cuts, scrapes, minor burns, bug bites, itching, eczema, diaper rash, and more. Sovereign Silver is the number one selling silver brand in the U.S. For a free information packet to order or for a store near you, call 888-328-8840. That's 888-328-8840 or visit sovereignsilver.com.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Don, what say we go for some physiological health and healing? I mean, that was a lot of political healing to open up the week, but I felt it was worthwhile.
I couldn't help it. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. Look, we got to set the stage here to see what's happening in the world around us, because as I set the stage for what we just did, recognizing that the political world impacts, because this is the big question some people still ask. It's like, why do you do it? Well, look, you want the freedom to heal. You want the freedom to heal, then you're going to have to address everything, including the body politic. I guess, you know, Newt Gingrich would love this story, because the CDC researchers from the CDC, and, you know, he loves the CDC and all that stuff, basically are telling moms, based on this inhibitory effect of breast milk on infectivity of live oral rotavirus vaccines, basically, they're saying, guess what? Don't drink breast milk. Moms, don't feed your babies breast milk. Why? It's not good for them. Well, they didn't say it wasn't good for you. It's not good for the vaccine. Wow, this is why breast milk was created, Don, so that it would be good for the vaccine. What?
Yeah, wait, well, you don't want something. You don't want something like nursing to get in the way of vaccines, right?
Vaccine. Well, here's the deal. If you remember, we've covered this Rotatec rotavirus vaccine. Initially, it had to be recalled because it created intestinal insusception. Basically, the intestines were collapsing on themselves, causing death. And these infants, if they couldn't do surgery to open it up or bypass them fast enough. I mean, you want to talk about horrific, horrific stuff to give to kids? It was killing them. And rather than going, okay, we're giving this vaccine for childhood diarrhea, instead of saying, well, we could give probiotics bacteria, we could give some good flora for these kids, and we can stop the diarrhea that way. We could also give some homeopathic remedies that are known to ease diarrheal symptoms. We could hydrate in extreme circumstances, even through intravenous therapies. No. We must have this patented vaccine to make trillions of dollars of profit. And so they went back to the drawing board to totally, let's see if we can correct it so we don't have as many adverse events. And now they find, oh my gosh, we're given this thing, and the virus that we're giving, which is a live virus, by the way, an oral virus, is not surviving in kids who are breastfed because breast milk provides immune function.
So what does that tell you about the breast milk? The breast milk is doing its job, right?
Exactly.
I mean, look, these 10 researchers from the CDC put out this paper. Now, the title of this paper is Inhibitory Effect of Breast Milk on Infectivity of Live Oral Rotavirus Vaccines.
Yep.
And they're saying that the immune-boosting effects of breast milk mm-hmm. are a detriment
mm-hmm.
to the efficacy of vaccines.
Right.
Bummer, right?
Yeah.
And this paper, it's absolutely ridiculous. It goes on to say that rather than remove the vaccines
mm-hmm.
so the breast milk can do its job, the women should instead remove the breast milk to allow the vaccines to do their job.
Makes perfect sense to Newt Gingrich and probably Julie Gerberdink and everybody else at Merck and everywhere else that this is coming from. This is what is amazing to me, because as we talk about this, as I said, I can talk to my kids about these things and they're kids and they'll get it. Yet these dunderheads that have done this study, that actually found this and go, oh my gosh, it's amazing. What we found is that breast milk protects you from viruses. The breast milk, by supporting the immune system, by having all of the immunoglobulins, all the things that we talked about. Even remember last week when we talked to Dr. Kleinsmith about the first milk, as they call it, the colostrum.
The colostrum,
right? The immune-rich substances. But even the breast milk, it provides the primary immunity for these kids for the first months of their life. And here they want to just basically say, we can't have that happen because it'll mess up our vaccines. There's not a lot you have to say about it except to point it out. And this is why the vaccine seminar that John Rappaport and I have done, it's uploading now, has been done so that you can see all of the vaccines in this way, the clear absurdity, the dangerousness of it, the lack of science, the lack of the veracity of the science, so that when you stand against the vaccines filing, you stand up with a strong backbone, you're in a position of power, not weakness. And this is another study here that strengthens your understanding, or should, that the natural world, that God created this stuff that we take and we give to our kids for a very specific purpose. To protect us for survival's sake, and that only the arrogance of men at the CDC who are working for government-sanctioned modern medicine in monopoly would basically try to overturn creation itself. I mean, could God sue them? I mean, is it even necessary? It's amazing.
Yes, the ultimate Supreme Court.
Yeah, exactly. But that's what I'm looking for.
And another thing that just came to mind, mm-hmm. that if they're telling people that they should withhold breast milk from the children
yep.
in order for the vaccines to work, then what is it the kids are losing out on as far as nutrition goes during that period of time?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's the alternative? You know, the alternative to breast milk then is what? It's formula, right?
Well, in their mind it is. Of course, I've dealt with this for many, many women over the years that could not, for any number of reasons, continue to breastfeed for as long as they would like. I mean, we had some of those problems in my family, and we actually did some, and I'm not talking about my childhood, but with our kids, pumped as much as possible to get us as long as we could. But beyond that, then we worked with goat milk. Goat milk is basically the closest thing to human milk in the animal world. And on top of it, we added certain simple sugars that were, you know, basically designed to provide different functions. We added some amino acids. We added some trace minerals, basically. We added, what else did we do? Some sea vegetation as well in there. I mean, we basically created our own. We added some more essential fats, right? The fish oils, the cod liver oils and things, all these things to nourish the brain and developing nervous system. And so there were a lot of things that can be done outside of the powdered breast milk. When I was in Jamaica, did I tell the story? One of the guys that was taking care of us at one of the places we stayed, nice man, he had just had a baby, and I went, he had a skin rash. This baby had a skin rash. And I said, what are you feeding this baby? And he took me into the little local little supermarket. It's not the same thing there in most places, but it's a little dinky place. But look, they had rows and rows and rows of powdered breast milk substitute. In Jamaica, of all places, they were sold a false bill of goods by the same big companies, Nestle and otherwise, that want to rule the world. And they convinced the people of Jamaica to basically abandon the natural world, a lot of them. And so they're going into these stores thinking that they're doing better by themselves instead of breastfeeding, giving them the powder, just like we were doing 20, 30 years ago in America when I was a kid 40 years ago. And so I said to this woman, I said, you've got to go back and get, you've got goats everywhere here. Get some goat milk in this child, and literally, you know, overnight you're going to see a change in the skin because the body is desperately trying to detox the garbage that it can and try to deal with whatever nutrition it can get out of it, just like I did when I was a little baby Robert Scott Bell, little Scotty, and I was projectile vomiting that stuff out, not to gross anybody out, but I've told that story because my body was smart.
Yeah, well, the body will do that.
Yeah, my body it's articulated the things that Newt Gingrich couldn't come up with in a million years.
No.
So in the meantime, we got 10 researchers from the CDC's National Centers for Immunization and Respiratory Disease releasing this paper. And, of course, ignoring millions or thousands of years, whatever you want to say, of the natural world here. And telling women, even more women, to abandon all ye the breast milk that came from creation. Because it will interfere with our precious little rotavirus vaccine. And once again, the reason why John Rappaport and I have spent so much time putting together the 11-plus hours of audio for you and some documents downloadable, etc., on vaccines is because of stupid stuff like this. I know you're not going to fall for it, but many people in your family, extended family, friends, and others still are duped, and you need to be walking through life with a posture that will impact on them positively, sometimes without saying anything, but the fact that you will know stuff that very few people know, and you'll get that from that seminar. We'll tell you how to get that in a little while, but we're going to be coming right back. I think there's a moment of duh on the horizon. We haven't done one of those in a while, Don, so let's get that fired up. And we'll be back after this. Say thanks to our sponsors here who make this possible on the Robert Scott Bell Show. We're closing in our one-year anniversary. I know we'll do something special for that. So stand by. 866-939-BELL if you have any questions or comments. 866-939-2355. Thank you for helping me rock the health and political world today on the Robert Scott Bell Show, Advanced Medicine Monday.
Since the 1920s, people around the world have been using radio frequencies to safeguard the health of themselves and their families. Through this tested technology, pioneered by Royal Raymond Rife, researchers have found that specific radio frequencies can eliminate viruses, bacteria, molds, and parasites without harming normal healthy cells. Frequency technology could help millions now suffering from various infections, even arthritis, herpes, Lyme disease, and other painful chronic conditions. The BCX Ultra Frequency Instrument has been developed over a period of 30 years. The BCX Ultra is one of the most powerful healing tools ever. Turn ill health around. Enjoy life again. Start learning about the BCX Ultra today. Visit bioelectricsforhealth.com or call 1-800-936-6240. That's 1-800-936-6240. Call today and start the healing.
For thousands of years, silver has played an essential role in safeguarding human health. Robert Scott Bell Show listeners know that Sovereign Silver, bioactive silver hydrosol, is the purest and most effective form of silver available. Only Sovereign Silver contains the smallest and most active particles in every bottle, each batch rigorously safety tested to guarantee the highest quality. At only 10 parts per million, Sovereign Silver outperforms other colloidal silvers 50 times more concentrated. Sovereign Silver acts faster than echinacea, oil of oregano, and other immune products. Tastes like water and has more uses than anything else for the immune system. And Sovereign Silver now comes in a topical first aid gel. Use Sovereign Silver gel on cuts, scrapes, minor burns, bug bites, itching, eczema, diaper rash, and more. Sovereign Silver is the number one selling silver brand in the U.S. For a free information packet to order or for a store near you, call 888-328-8840. That's 888-328-8840 or visit sovereignsilver.com.
Hey there, this is Mike. Got a couple of things you may want to check out. Did you know about the website counterthink.com? These are some really hilarious, freedom-oriented, health-oriented, even political cartoons that you got to check out. Counterthink.com. And if you want to know what's in your food, go check out foodinvestigations.com, where you've got a bunch of free mini documentaries, little videos there you can watch that will show you what's in your food and what's not in your food. We talk about Total Blueberry Pomegranate Cereal made by General Mills. Did you know it has no blueberries in it and no pomegranates? We got the video right there on foodinvestigations.com. And if you really want to know what's in your food, your medicine, your personal care products, and so on, head over to naturalnews.com. We're publishing about 12 articles a day now, everything from healing superfoods to the dangerous chemicals in your products, foods, and medicines. Naturalnews.com. Check it out.
Hello.
Hello!
Hello, hello, hello.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
You're amazing. You are something else.
Robert Scott Bell.
He has both style and substance.
Robert Scott Bell.
How much power do talk radio hosts really have?
This is transformational, and it's awesome.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
From don't drink that breast milk to don't look at that food. This is the time where we go to the Max Planck Institute. Real science, right? We cover real science from time to time here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. Max Planck, what was he? He was the guy that basically is the father of quantum physics. Quantum physics. How could quantum physics, Max Planck, have anything to do with today's
moment of duh?
What are you people? On dope?
Amalgamated Association of Morons. Local 6 and 7-8.
You're crazy!
No.
What is your major malfunction?
Yes, today's Moment of Duh, brought to you by Pictures of Food. That's right, as in don't look at them. You might get hungry. You might eat. My goodness, this is a serious warning off of Medical News Today. Who paid for this? Warning, avoid looking at pictures of appetizing food as it will make you hungry. Yeah, Max Planck researchers. I mean, Max Planck, come on, rolling over in his quantum physics-inspired grave at this point. They've proven something scientifically for the first time that lay people, you and me, lay people have always known. The mere sight of delicious food stimulates the appetite. As if it were all an internal biochemical process, right? The environment has nothing to do with how our lives, how our body manifests certain desires, like hunger. A study of healthy young men has documented for the first time ever that the amount of neurosecretory protein hormone, ghrelin, in the blood increases as a result of visual stimulation through images of food. My goodness. Who didn't know that if you look at yummy-looking food or even sweet treat desserts that your body starts to go, I'd like that. You start salivating like the Pavlovian signal of the dog so long ago. As a main regulator, this thing called ghrelin controls both eating behavior and the physical processes involved in food metabolism. I mean, is it just supposed to spontaneously, you know, erupt from your body, this ghrelin? Or could it be triggered by visual cues out there or smells even? My goodness. Are they going to do that next at the Max Planck Institute? We're going to bake up some cookies and we're going to make these young men smell it. And they're probably not going to get hungry and want to eat it, right? How amazing is this? Who paid for this? The findings of our study demonstrate for the first time ever. I added that the release of ghrelin into the blood for the regulation of food consumption is also controlled by external factors. Our brain thereby processes these visual stimuli, and the physical processes that control our perception of appetite are triggered involuntarily. The mechanism could prompt us to eat a piece of cake just 2 hours. No, say it isn't true after breakfast, says Petra Schussler, a scientist at Max Planck Institute. She thus recommends that individuals with weight problems should preferably avoid looking at images of appetizing food. So what we need are horse blinders for fat people. Is that what you're saying? Don't look at the food! No, there are other ways to discipline yourself. Think about it this way. if you have low blood sugar, you don't even have to look at food. You're going to be hungry. You're going to crave something. But if you have low blood sugar, you might say, oh, I don't want to eat. So you might pick up a cigarette, or you might pick up another drug habit of any kind. You might grab the wrong thing. Of course, very often, more often than not, probably you will end up grabbing a refined carbohydrate. That's like crack cocaine to a crack addict when you're hypoglycemic. You need that instant fix. Get that blood sugar up in a hurry. And of course, in that way, it sets the stage for the yo-yoing, if you will, of consumption, diet, etc., leading perhaps to exhaustion, not only adrenal exhaustion, but pancreatic exhaustion. And the mineral that is deficient, is absent in these cases, becomes even, you know, less present on the scene, and then, of course, leading you to that next phase from hypoglycemia to diabetes. So, discipline. Have any of you ever fasted? Ever? Even once? I talked to Mike Adams recently. He was doing these a certain kind of fasting, intermittent fasting, as well, disciplining the body. I used to do this every week. On Fridays, I would fast, you know, from morning to night, or from the previous night to the to the next night, and it was a discipline. Could you overcome the cravings? Could you take control? Like I said, environmentally speaking, like, oh, you saw some food. Oh my God, I got to eat. Or can you overcome that desire? Now, it's very difficult to overcome that desire if you don't have the basic nutrient, let's say, profile, all the things you need present, especially the glucose tolerance factor molecule of chromium, which would enable in a fasting situation for you to go into your stored energy, your fat cells, and relinquish that which is bound up for emergency use. And if you don't have the chromium molecules in your body, you can't do that. So you have this disastrous, precipitous drop in blood sugar, in energy available to the body, to the higher functions of the brain, for instance, and you become animal-like in your behavior, potentially, as we see in children that are labeled ADHD that go shoot up schools. Or anybody that becomes aggressive. I know if I've ever been hypoglycemic, and I have in my history, I can get pretty testy. I mean, rarely that does that ever happen now. But in the case of my history, yes, I've been there. Aggressively angry. It's like, whoa, who is that? That's not Robert Scott Bell, is it? And of course, that side of you, that animalistic side, if you've ever felt very hungry, famished, hungry, you can get very short and testy. And that might be the mild way to describe what can happen. So, yes, I make fun of this moment of dub, but it's an obvious thing that they've revealed. As I said, anybody knows and has been through this, that when you start looking at pictures of delicious foods, you're going to crave them unless you practice the discipline and unless you have the adequate quantities of chromium in your body. Well, you can look at it and you be the Zen master of food. Yeah, no problem. Here, throw that right in front of my face, that piece of cake. I don't even desire it. Of course, it's a transformational change. It's a shift that needs to happen, but it can take time to do via the practice that happens over time should you desire to do it. If not, you're victimized by your biochemistry, by the lack thereof of the chromium in your body. Therefore, the cravings are uncontrollable and you'll reach for anything. Like I said, maybe it's a cigarette, maybe it's something else, but the addiction becomes very real because of the biochemistry that is not there, because of the nutrients that are not there. So, chicken and egg question. You may have this desire when you see yummy, even junky foods that you just, whoa, man, I wish I could eat that. But if you have the adequate balance in your system, you'll be able to. It's not even resistance. It doesn't affect you the same way. I remember this. Do you remember? Does anybody else, or is it just me, that grew up drinking Coca-Cola, right? I went to Coca-Cola University, the sweet treats, the refined carbohydrates of the carbonated beverages. And if you've consumed that every day for much of your life growing up, it's just a normal thing. Yeah, you have a Coke with a meal or whatever pop you have in the Midwest. They call it soda pop. I remember in my transition from standard American diet to going organic to detoxifying all those years ago, and I had no idea how addicted I was to soda pop, Coca-Cola, whatever you want to call it, depending on where you're from. No idea, because my body had adapted and expected it and even demanded it, but I was completely unconscious of it until I consciously attempted to remove it. And for a couple of years, I kid you not, I had cravings. I could taste it. I remember as a Ute. Remember the my cousin Vizzy as a Ute, as a youth. I was a young adult going to Europe every summer, backpacking through Europe, hoofing it, visiting with family that I had over there as well. And there was that time where I was transitioning away from the Coca-Colas. And I would see in Europe, they had, you know, Coca-Cola, little mini cans that they had. And other my friends around me were drinking it. And I was like, whoa, I could feel like literally like a drug craving for this stuff. And I was like, I had no idea how it was monkeying with my biochemistry. But so much of what we consume in the Western world is loaded with these synthetics that have never before in the history, recorded history of humankind, been in our so-called food chain. Similar to the cigarettes that are no longer tobacco, minimally tobacco, and you know, thousands of other chemical additives in there. So the moment you start removing it, you still have those physiological cravings that are very difficult to overcome, which is why I came back to, and I come back to, homeopathic medicine as well. Now, I would often go with my cravings, I would take a dose of lycopodium, which is the club moss in homeopathic form, and also iris, which is the flower, the iris, in homeopathic form. Because those of their many properties are known to address food cravings, etc. Any kind of craving, addiction even. Its impact is largely on the pancreas. And I did this for many years, and it would help me get through a lot of the hypoglycemia I had to overcome. But over the time, and you know, meeting people, learning about whole food nutrients, food-grown nutrition, my dear friend Christopher Barr, nutritional historian, has written about this as well. In fact, in addition to his book on chromium, he's got a book on selenium as well. I would encourage everybody to pick up a little booklet, very inexpensive, and I'll tell you how to get it in a moment. But I began to integrate as well these nutrients like the food-grown glucose tolerance factor chromium. And my goodness, as I did that, and I had overcome much of my problems there, but I found subtle but very powerful energetic boosts by having the chromium in my body. But in working with people that came to me with hypoglycemia and diabetes, what would take me a lot longer to accomplish, now I was accomplishing in much shorter times. Similar to when I've talked to you about the silver hydrosol and the aloe vera juice protocol for gastrointestinal recovery. What would take me 2 years, or what took me 2 years to accomplish just with homeopathy and dietary shifts, now I found I was able to collapse time and space from 2 years to like 2 months to address that. And people that have been on the silver aloe protocol that I've talked about have done that as well. And the same thing with the hypoglycemia diabetic scenario. With homeopathy, it could take many months, maybe sometimes years to accomplish. I was able to accelerate that by integrating the nutrients that were missing. And it's not that I didn't know about them, but having the adequate, appropriate form. Early on as well in my discovery, even before I was fully unaware of natural medicine and healing, I was in my transition phase. I was living a different life. I was into video and film production. And of course, I was doing some broadcast media a little bit, but more of the video side of things. And I actually helped produce a video. I remember John Tesh and Lisa Gibbons when they were on Entertainment Tonight. I was in the Entertainment Tonight studios. I don't tell this story. Hey, I haven't told this ever. And we're producing a video in promotion of some products that were being promoted. And they were talking about, and I interviewed an expert about chromium picolinate. I remember that. I was like, fascinated. What is this chromium picolinate? And they were talking about it in terms of energy and hypoglycemia and pancreas function. I thought, wow, that's interesting. Didn't realize at the time that it became so popular, and this was back in the 90s, that the U.S. government held patent on this form of chromium. So, of course, suddenly it was okay to talk about it because the government was going to make money on it. Little did I know at the time that it was a pale reflection of the actual form of the chromium molecule that is actually utilized by the body, the GTF glucose tolerance factor form. And that the chromium picolinate was a chromium molecule bound to picolinic acid, which is known as a cellular waste product, cellular poop, not to be indelicate about it, but a waste product. The body has to excrete as waste. Yet they bound it up there and thought, oh, this is great. This will be utilized. And very fractions of a percentage point of the chromium are actually available to the body to accomplish what you're trying to do in dealing with hypoglycemia, for instance. So when I found the food form of it, it made all the difference in the world. And maybe you have discovered it. Maybe you're new to the Robert Scott Bell Show and are just now discovering it. So as I wrap up this segment, I want to let you know where to get it if you haven't already done so. Call up my good friend Jonathan at ChooseToBeHealthy.com. Jonathan, ChooseToBeHealthy.com. You can go there online or call him at 866-424-1077, 866-424-1077. 1077. If you're just dipping your toe in the water, then say, hey, Jonathan, can I get the book on chromium and the book on selenium that Chris Barr wrote? And get that read up. You're going to eventually buy the chromium, the selenium, the food grown, and it'll change your life for the better. And then you will not be subject to the moment of duh that we just covered from the Max Planck Institute. When you see delicious junk food that may not be good for you, in fact, it's not, you're not going to worry about it. You won't even crave it. You can, like, brush it aside like a food zen master, like we all can become, because the power to not eat those foods is yours. I'll be right back to wrap up this hour on the Robert Scott Bell Show after this. Say thanks to our sponsors. Lots more healing to go.
Hold that shrimp on the Barbie until you find out about Papaya 35 Multiply Plus, direct from Australia. All natural, GMO-free Papaya 35 Multiply Plus is made from fermented papaya and pomegranate, rich in natural probiotics, digestive enzymes, and antioxidants. Now get this spectacular product to boost your natural killer cells to help your immune system and improve your digestion at the same time. So now you can have your shrimp on the Barbie, feel better, and if you act now, get a great down-under price and free shipping on each product that you order. Don't wait. Go to onestophealthshop.com and order now. That's one-stop-health-shop.com. Get that great down-under price and free shipping right now at one-stop-health-shop.com. That's one-stop-health-shop.com.
Hi, this is Robert Scott Bell, and I want to tell you about my great friends at Enterfood.com. Like me, the folks at Enterfood are fighting the good fight for your total health freedom. Their super green energy drink, Enterfood, is full of natural ingredients like spirulina and chlorella, which can improve your immune system and detox you from harmful radiation. Enterfood was voted best superfood by Mike Adams and the Southwest College of Naturopathic Medicine. Enterfood.com is one-stop shopping for all your health and survival needs. Try their meal replacement product for those watching their weight, organic immune support coffee, cocoa, coconut milk powder, and herbal tinctures for your every need. Enterfood.com now has developed a new survival preparedness pail packed with all organic, tasty, non-GMO foods to get you and your family through any disaster. All of these great products are now available to you for a 10% discount when you mention the Robert Scott Bell Show. Call them to order at 866-762-9238. That's 866-762-9238. Or go to our product page at Enterfood.com. That's Enerfood.com.
Making sense out of medical propaganda. Here's Robert.
Speaking of see junk food, eat junk food, the moment of duh from last segment, Mike Adams has a great piece in Natural News today. Health insurance company preys upon the poor with junk food reward program for vaccinating your baby. You know, it's another chicken or egg. Do we learn to eat junk food from the government, from our parents, or both? And here they go, preying on the poor and downtrodden, so to speak. We want you to get your vaccines. And in fact, if you do, we'll give you $20 to eat junk food from fast food restaurants. We'll vaccinate my baby for food should be the headline, should be the billboard up there of the CDC and the government, the FDA, the Department of Health and Human Services, and local health departments, because it seems to be the goal of this program launched last year by United Healthcare Health Insurance Company of Michigan. Now, this is why I say health insurance is not health insurance, it's disease induction, then management. Enticing parents with junk food. Now, there's this letter that Natural News was able to get. It was signed by a woman named Stephanie Esters. She's evidently a vaccine-pushing RN. She works for United Healthcare. She says, get a free $20 McDonald's, Rite Aid, Target, or Meijer gift card. Or Major. I don't know this store. If your child gets recommended shots before their second birthday, it even goes on to offer a free ride to the doctor for those who are so poor that they don't own a form of transportation to get you there. How desperate are the global elites? Now, this RN may not be a global elite, but she's a tool, a stooge of the global elite that want to damage, impair, and maybe induce infertility. Right, we covered this with the Healing Revolution last week with Dr. Frank King on those that they don't want to procreate. They're not going to come out and say, we're going to mass sterilize you poor people. We don't like you. They're going to say, here, just come in and get your vaccines. And once you do, we'll even give you free money to go buy food that is devoid of vitamins, minerals, and trace minerals, but it is extremely rife with adjuvants, neurological inflammation-inducing chemicals. And I'm just talking about the food, not even mentioning the mercury and aluminum in the vaccines, because you, of course, have endocrine-disrupting compounds in the meats. We talk about the term eugenics, which is horrific. Yes, I know, eugenics is horrific to even discuss, but this is how they've gone underground with eugenics, forcing this idea that vaccines actually protect you when they induce disease and likely now are more aggressively inducing infertility, so procreation becomes less and less possible. And rates of infertility have been rising among all peoples of the Western world. How do we reduce population if we can't come right out and put you in the gas chambers like they did in Nazi Germany? Well, they do it through vaccination programs. I know, is that controversial? Is that too controversial? Can you handle that kind of information? Read this story about rewarding vaccines with toxic junk food. Because how many people, how many little kids have been terminated by what they call, crib death through vaccines? They'll never acknowledge it, much like they're denying the link between vaccines and the mystery of the 12 teenage girls in Leroy, New York. And boy, oh boy, has Dr. Batar got some things to say about that. We've got a major news story that is happening. And the news story isn't that they found it. It's the claim that they found the cause, but the unwillingness to communicate it to anybody, least of all these parents. And when you hear some of these clips, I don't know if we're going to do the whole clip or some of them, but when you hear some of these clips of the parents saying that they are not even being informed of what is happening to their children, it is stunning. It is horrific. It is horrendous. And that's why I got Dr. Batar on Advanced Medicine Monday covering that with me next hour. Now, why couldn't insurance companies promote the use of nutritional supplements for children? I mean, there are organic things now that have come out. We could do smoothies for the kids. We can add supplements for these kids and, of course, transform their life, their health for the better if they were sincere about promoting health in young people, particularly young people from the inner city who don't know any better, rather than enticing them with junk food to get their kids injected with things that you would not inject into your worst enemy. Well, maybe some people would, but so horrific that you could not justify it in any sane, rational, and humane culture or society. Instead, we've got a government, media, medical conglomeration, if you will, that is a culture of death, that is discouraging moms from breastfeeding because it will upset the interaction with the viruses introduced by these vaccines like the rotavirus vaccine. How upside down, how bizarre, how sickening is our culture that we would allow this? And then we've got the Newt Gingriches of the world say, I am articulating your values. No, not my values, bud. The values that I believe in are liberty, freedom, health freedom in particularly, and of course, the elimination of the government medical media complex and the decentralization of this power so that the local authorities, if you can call them the authorities should be mom and dad. And if you choose to work with a doctor, work with a doctor who respects your right to determine what is best for your children and works with you rather than dictates to you a policy that can end up terminating their lives early via vaccine, via junk food. Oh, and by the way, I forgot to mention when I had Dr. Kleinsmith on last week, remember Anthony Kleinsmith, we did a segment or two on the colostrum. I'm thinking, seriously, if you want to help somebody out, a little baby out that's been damaged by vaccines and they don't have access to a lot of things, give them some colostrum. My goodness, the regeneration, that the impact that it has. And Dr. K said, basically after the fact, and I apologize for this, I didn't give out this toll-free number, but he also said you could get some samples, like a little sample pack. So if you've never tried this colostrum or any colostrum, give a call, 888-617-8733, 888-617-8733. And mention the Robert Scott Bell Show, and they'll be able to send you out a few things to try and, of course, get you on the road to recovery. Or if you want to give the gift of healing to someone who can't afford it, that's a great way to be truly charitable and supportive of a culture of life, not death. That's what we're all about here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. Coming up next, Dr. Roshan Batar continues with Advanced Medicine Monday. And boy, oh boy, we've got some advanced medicine in dealing with the vaccine industrial complex. You want to stick around for that. In the meantime, just remember this on the Robert Scott Bell Show and everywhere else, the truth is that the power to heal is yours.
The Robert Scott the Bell
Robert
Show.
Scott Bell Show.
Listening to the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
The FDA is about to get a lot more muscle.
More money and more power.
Sweeping new powers.
The most sweeping overhaul of the nation's food safety laws since the 1930s.
Robert Scott Bell.
If you like the efficiency of the post office, the confidence of FEMA, and the compassion of the IRS, we will love the nationalized health care bill.
Robert Scott Bell.
The British Medical Journal accused a researcher, Andrew Wakefield, of outright fraud.
People need to look at the details and not look at the headlines.
This is like Salem, the visceral response that they're trying to whip up in the public to try and crush this dissent.
Enough is enough.
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom and making sense out of medical propaganda. The voice of health, freedom, and liberty, Robert Scott Bell.
We continue now with Advanced Medicine Monday, and the reason for Advanced Medicine Monday is Dr. Rashid Bittar. He joins me now. Welcome back, Dr. Bittar.
Hey, Robert. How are you?
Doing well. We had to cover a little bit of political healing last hour and some vaccine stuff, some of which I'm going to ask you about because your perspective on it is much appreciated and also valuable. But there are some just stories that just had me shaking my head, and you've seen some of these as well this week from the Rotatec virus people at CDC saying, stop breastfeeding, you're messing up with our vaccine or something, and also redefining autism, as well as the mystery among the 12 teenage girls in Leroy, New York. It's not mass hysteria, now it's a mass psychogenic illness. I don't know where you want to start, but all of it's at play this hour.
Yeah, the psychogenic illness thing that's reminiscent of the Washington Redskins cheerleader, that was the same thing that they did with her. Everything became psychogenic. And I did not know about the CDC story until you sent me the information, but the one on the autism redefinition, that is just absolutely preposterous.
Yeah, what is this all about, the redefining of autism? I mean, it's not like they, I guess some people sort of know a definition, but there's so many things in the spectrum, so to speak. Does the medical profession really understand what it is, much less the definition as it is, for them to change it now?
Well, let's talk about the history of this. This is actually a very interesting point that you're bringing up, because the first thing is that autism is actually classified as a psychiatric illness in our medical, modern medical day profession. It's actually a diagnosis that's defined in DSM-3, which is the psychiatric Bible, if you will, which is the has all the diagnoses and what the definitions of those diagnoses are. It's all classified in this manual called DSM-3. And autism is one of those types of conditions. Now they're going to have psychiatrists, the psychiatric division of medicine, which is already defining what autism is, redefine it to try to make it even more confusing and to try to reduce the incidence of autism by redefining the meaning of it or by re-outlining the definition of it. Because what it comes down to, Robert, is this. If you have too much autism being diagnosed,
right,
you simply change the criteria and suddenly those levels will drop. That's what they're doing.
Okay. So this is a play on so many times you just redefine a disease so it disappears or appears to. I remember when they did this with smallpox. They said, oh, it's this now, or it's the vaccinia virus. It's, you know, something that it isn't, so they could say they've eradicated it, when the reality is, man, unless he eradicates the entire planet, is not going to eradicate a virus.
Well, that's exactly right. They're essentially By redefining it, they make the qualification for the autism spectrum disorder more difficult to achieve, meaning that if there was 6 out of 9 criteria, now you only have to meet, or now you have to meet 8 out of the 9 criteria, or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. I don't remember exactly what the criteria is, but I think they're going to, from the article that I read, they were going to increase the number of criteria for it to become autism, and they're going to take pervasive developmental delay and Asperger's out completely so that it's not within the autism spectrum disorder category. And by doing so, they are essentially reducing the number of people being diagnosed with autism so that now they can declare a false victory by telling everybody that, look, the incidence of autism in 2013, 2014, 2015 has steadily dropped.
Well, and in this way, they could probably say, look, and at the same time, we even increased the vaccine schedule. We've got more vaccines, but we've got less autism, so vaccines can't possibly have anything to do with this.
And in fact, this is exactly what they did with the Denmark study that came out, where they showed the incidence of autism had actually decreased, although the incidence of vaccinations were increasing. But they said that by dropping the thimerosal out of the vaccine, it had no effective improvement because the incidence of autism continued to rise. This was a study that came out a number of years ago. I believe it was in the 2003, 2004, 2005 timeframe. But it's a very, very popular study among the mainstream medical community because they show that despite thimerosal being removed, the incidence of autism increased. However, what they don't tell you was, this is how corrupt the system is.
Yeah, you mentioned corruption, Dr. Batar. Sorry to interrupt, but this sounds like it's the same study we covered a little bit, and it is completely fraudulent in so many ways. This Thorson guy was involved with money laundering and all kinds of stuff through Atlanta, the CDC, all the way to Denmark.
If it's a Denmark study, then Robert, it exactly is the same study, but this is how corrupt the system is. When they took the thimerosal out in this study, essentially what they did was they were trying to show that, look, here's the incidence of autism, and they had a timeline. At a specific point in that timeline, they took thimerosal out of the vaccines, and they said that the incidence of autism, instead of dropping as everybody says it should in our camp, that once you take thimerosal out, the incidence of autism should drop. They said that it actually increased the incidence of autism when the thimerosal came out. Now, what they didn't tell the public was that the group that they looked at in the before thimerosal being removed versus the group that they looked at after the thimerosal being removed, the group that was being evaluated for autism, or that was being evaluated in the study with autism, were only the people that were institutionalized. Okay? Mm. So you had a much smaller group of people with the diagnosis of autism. When they took the thimerosal out, they started looking at the entire group of people in Denmark with the diagnosis of autism, regardless of whether they were institutionalized or not. So that subpopulation exponentially increased because all of a sudden, you know, they may only have like maybe 1 out of 4 people or 1 out of 6 people, or 1 out of 10 people that were institutionalized. So all of a sudden that number exploded. And that exploded number, because they're looking at two different subgroups or two different groups of population, two separate categories of people,
right,
made the graph, it skewed the graph and made it look like it exploded upwards when the thimerosal came out. And that's what they reported. They said, look at this. We took the thimerosal out, and autism just exploded.
Well, Dr. Batar, it seems that that should have been enough. Of course, we find out by looking at these studies how, at the very least, poorly designed or purposefully designed for an outcome, but at the very worst, seemingly fraudulent, that they are not succeeding. And this is evidence of this need to change the definition in the DSM-3, et cetera, to basically validate what they want to validate, which they couldn't before.
Absolutely. And here's the other twist to this, Robert. This is where the media comes in. They had a media absolute blitz on this because of the autism study in Denmark that showed that the removal of mercury had no effect and, in fact, increased the incidence of autism. And yet, when the study was found to be fraudulent, when it was the money laundering aspect, and I think this is the same thing when the author was indicted, right?
Yes, Thorson. I mean, they were going after him. This guy's in big trouble.
But how much did the media cover in that story?
No, not much. I mean, it's very minimal coverage compared to the whole study itself, which where they were lauding as, oh, they finally disproven the mercury link to thimerosal.
I think it was, besides you, I think there was maybe only one other place that I even saw it mentioned.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, you know, we have the new media, as this is what we are, is the new media covering it. And those that get their news from the new media, of course, are not only much more intelligent, but much more informed and able to see through lies and deceit in ways that never before was possible. Yet here's the case in point where they're able to then pull another card or rabbit out of their hat to keep the game going. Okay, that didn't work. Well, let's do this. Let's just change the definition. They won't understand. I mean, I've covered it. Having you cover it this way explains it even better as to what they're after in this regard and how they're pulling it off.
You know, it's just very simply, the analogy would be that if you have a bunch of chickens that were different colored and you said that all the red chickens need to be taken out, and then you have too many red chickens being removed and you want to reduce the number of red chickens being taken out, but you have an overpopulation of these red chickens, what do? You redefine the red definition of red color to say that anything that is the color of blood red is red, but anything that's the color of apple red or any other type of red shade is no longer classified as red. So now you're going to keep 90% of the red chickens in the same group as everything else, and you're only going to take out that 10%, thus reducing the population of the red chickens, but the definition of the red chickens has been redefined. Otherwise, the chickens are all still red. And that's what they're doing. They're just trying to change the data. They can't skew the data anymore, so what they're going to do is they're just going to redefine it.
It's amazing. And, of course, in terms of this recent X-Files mystery, I don't know a better way to describe it the way the media is reporting on it. I covered it on my Sunday show, the Robert Scott Bell Show, about this so-called mass psychogenic illness, which, you know, harken back to our coverage of your experience with Desiree Jennings, the Washington Redskins cheerleader, where they all said, oh, it's just another word to kind of throw off the real cause because we can't acknowledge it. Yet in these cases, they acknowledged in a news report on a TV show, I think one of the like Today Show or something, they said, no, it's not mass hysteria anymore. We call it mass psychogenic illness. Why? Well, it's the same thing, or it means the same thing according to them, but of course they realize it's not as politically correct to make reference to a woman's womb and hysteria, because that's all the origin of the word hysteria. Oh, you're just a woman. You're just a crazy woman. And there's so much, sexism in the medical profession to look at women in this way, to just kind of toss it off as, oh, it's hysteria. Oh, we'll call it psychogenic, though.
Yeah, it is. It's ludicrous. You know, they on one side, like with the Desiree Jennings aspect, remember, there were multiple hospitals that looked at her, and they said they didn't know what it was, but there was nothing they could do to help her. It was beyond medical science. I believe the dystonia aspect, when they threw that out, they said dystonia has no known cure, and she was told there was nothing that could be done. Mm-hmm. And then when she came to us, and we got her better, and we got her better quickly, within, I had even publicly stated that if what she has is what I think she has, which we established that she had an acute viral encephalopathy on board, mercury toxicity, and I said that if she has what we think she has, and we can get to her, she should respond to a treatment relatively quickly. Within less than a week, she should see some kind of improvement. And within 48 hours, this woman's number of seizures dropped exponentially. She was able to start to ventilate on her own. Within 72 hours, she was actually walking, and her incidence of seizures had dropped down from 60, 70 seizures a day down to 3 or 4 seizures a day. But she was able to not communicate. She was able to actually walk. And, of course, they went from that first extreme, that this is something that can't be helped and we don't know exactly what it is, to when we get her better, this is all in her head and there's no science of validity to what we were doing.
Well, exactly. And so
they're redefining it's just kind of like what they're doing with the study. They're redefining it, but they're doing with reclassification of autism. They redefine what the classification of helping somebody was.
Well, and if it falls under Dr. Buttar, as you say, the psychiatric DSM, which means, you know, if we go back to origins of psychiatry, it used to be a talk therapy. It used to be a legitimate form of helping people until it became a basically alter brain biochemistry or any chemical we can with drugs, then now it became something far different from, you know, its origins. And in this case, if they say autism is based in a psychiatric disorder, you can't talk somebody out of autism.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is why it's always been a very significant pet peeve of mine that you've got a major, major metabolic genetic predisposition, a major toxicological assault that's going on a physiology that is already susceptible, has nothing to do with psychiatry, and yet it's the psychiatric profession that defines it and has the so-called cure for it, which is giving an individual medication and to make their affect more blunt by subduing them, essentially by making them more groggy so that they're not as much of a burden on society so that their greater input necessary, the desire for greater input for sensory perception. That's one reason autistic children have a lot of stimming, because they're sensory deprived. They want to increase that sensation, so they do the hand flapping, to walk on the tiptoes, because they're trying to increase sensory input. But that becomes socially disruptive. And so you give these children antidepressants and you give them sedatives to blunt their response and make them more flat in affect. And
docile.
And you silence them.
Wow. And we saw the videos now of some of these girls in Leroy, New York. When we come back from this break, I want to talk with Dr. Batar more about the so-called mass psychogenic illness of 12 girls from one high school. We saw the tics, Tourette's-like behavior, uncontrollable movements that these girls were experiencing. We'll talk about what it may be, our perspective on that, and also the redefining of autism in addition. Who knows what else we'll do, because the 9 steps to keep the doctor away. That's Dr. Batar's awesome bestseller, international bestselling book now. It's something that it speaks in the plain language that we get to do every week here on what we call the Medical Rewind Advanced Medicine Monday on the Robert Scott Bell Show. So say thanks to our sponsors. We're coming right back with more powerful healing with Dr. Batar after this.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hello, this is Jonathan Wagner. We have an internet website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, that carries many of the products discussed on Robert's show, including 100% whole food chromium and selenium, silica, as well as sovereign silver and Nordic naturals. Choosetobehealthy.com features the Rolls Royce of probiotics. It's Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Dr. O'Hara, a world-renowned microbiologist, formulated a unique probiotic that blends ancient Japanese fermentation methods with 21st century technology. No refrigeration is needed. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics contains the strongest lactic acid bacteria known to man based on scientific laboratory research. 6.25 times stronger. Quite simply, it works, and works very well. So go to our website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, or call us toll-free, 866-424-1077. That's 866-424-1077. We're here to help.
Since the 1920s, people around the world have been using radio frequencies to safeguard the health of themselves and their families. Through this tested technology, pioneered by Royal Raymond Rife, researchers have found that specific radio frequencies can eliminate viruses, bacteria, molds, and parasites without harming normal healthy cells. Frequency technology could help millions now suffering from various infections, even arthritis, herpes, Lyme disease, and other painful chronic conditions. The BCX Ultra Frequency Instrument has been developed over a period of 30 years. The BCX Ultra is one of the most powerful healing tools ever. Turn ill health around. Enjoy life again. Start learning about the BCX Ultra today. Visit bioelectricsforhealth.com or call 1-800-936-6240. That's 1-800-936-6240. Call today and start the healing.
Rocking the health world through the power of radio. It's the Robert Scott Bell Show.
I was talking to Dr. Batar on the break, and we thought rather than just talking about the story, we'd let you hear how the mainstream media is covering the story, the mysterious illness in Leroy, New York, the 12 girls that were hammered by this mysterious ailment illness. So this is from the Today Show. We're going to go ahead and play that for you now.
And good morning to you. For months, doctors in Leroy, New York have been trying to figure out what caused 12 girls to have severe tics, almost like Tourette's syndrome. Now the state health department is weighing in.
It was just supposed to be white right there.
17-year-old Thera Sanchez says she isn't the same teenager she was a few months ago. She suffers from uncontrollable body movements, tics, and verbal outbursts, much like Tourette syndrome. Things Thera once loved, like going out with friends or cheerleading, are now, she says, nearly impossible.
Well, I used to cheer every day. I would go to art class. I used to go to 2 art classes every day. Now I'm not in school.
This is home video of Thera from October, when she says the symptoms first appeared, barely able to speak.
What's he doing?
I was always so... I was always so active, and everybody was always happy to be around me, but I don't feel like myself anymore.
As you're hearing that, by the way, I just want to break in, as you're hearing these verbal tics and things, there's also physical movement that you can see. And I've linked this up so you can watch it after, but I want you to hear it so we can continue talking about it.
And Thera is not alone. At least 12 teenage girls at Leroy High School in upstate New York say they're suffering from the same symptoms, including Thera's friend Katie Krautwurst.
My days are all different. Some days I'll just start twitching and it won't stop for 10, 15, 20 minutes.
Both girls have seen their own doctors and are getting treatment, but they say symptoms continue. The New York State Health Department has been looking into the case for more than 3 months and says the school building is not to blame.
We have conclusively ruled out any form of infection or communicable disease, and there's no evidence of any environmental factor.
The State Health Department says each student was examined by a private doctor and given a diagnosis. Still, Thera's mom wants more answers.
It's come to the point, you know, where that's not enough. We need to know what's going on.
And it's important to reiterate, the State Health Department says it's confident students there are not at risk because of anything in or at Leroy High School. Anne?
All right, Amy Robach, thank you so much. 17-year-old Thera Sanchez and 16-year-old Katie Krautwurst are now joining us along with their mothers, Melissa Phillips and Beth Miller. Good morning to both of you and all of you, and also Dr. Gail Saltz, who is a Today contributor and psychiatrist. Thank you so much for being here. Mm-hmm. First, Thera, we just heard about this affecting you. Are you angry?
Very, very angry. I'm very angry. I'm very frustrated. No one's giving answers.
Katie, what are your emotions?
I'm angry too.
And so when you hear the state health department say that there is no environmental factors, that there's no infectious disease, as a mom, Melissa, what are you thinking?
Where's the proof? Where's the data? Where's the testing? When has this been done?
You've not been shown any data?
No, nothing.
Beth, do you think that you have a right to this data?
Yes, and I have put in a request for it. I'm trying to get all the information together so I can proceed in finding a cure for our daughters.
Why do you disbelieve what the state is telling you? That this has to be something else. This is cannot be something that is environmental or something that's to do with the school. Melissa?
Nothing's been collectively done for our daughters. Everything's been done individually. Testing, they say that all the girls have had, they have not had. The facts that they're stating just aren't true.
So what are the doctors telling you, Thera, about what is happening to you?
Mostly that it's stress-induced. When these started, I was fine. I was perfectly fine. I felt good about everything. I was on honor roll. There was nothing going wrong. And then I just woke up, and that's when the stuttering started.
And you've been admitted to art school. You're not in school right now. You want to go on to college. I mean, this is incredibly frustrating for you. Katie, how do you explain how 12 girls in your small town, all at the same high school, would have similar symptoms?
I can't explain it. They told us it was traumatic, but I really don't think any of us had that traumatic of a life before, and that it would randomly happen.
You don't. You're just shaking a little bit, but you have a little bit here and there, but it's not as pronounced as Thera's.
No.
Do you see a similarity though in your symptoms?
Yeah, mine's more advanced, I think, because I've had it longer. But mine's definitely gotten better.
It's gotten better for you. Has it gotten better for you, Thera?
No, it gets worse.
All right. Well, Dr. Saltz.
Now they go to the psychiatrist.
What is this? Do you know?
Well, having just met them, I could not make a diagnosis. When you have a movement disorder or these different kinds of things, you rule out environmental things, infectious things, etc. When you've ruled everything out and they're saying to you it's stress-related, then you might call it something called conversion disorder or psychosomatic illness, which means that symptoms have been converted from something psychological into something physical, and it usually is predated by a stress. But it's important for me to say that's not fake. That's not faking it. They're real symptoms that are not under their control, that they're really experiencing. They're psychologically driven, and they need a psychiatric or psychological treatment, but real treatment, and treatment does work.
But the fact that it's happened to 12 girls, it really does say something that has to be done. What do you want to come out of being on the Today Show this morning?
I want an answer, a straight answer. I've had psychological treatment. They say this is stress-induced. When I go to my psychological treatment, that's all they do is stress me out more.
All right, well,
and they get worse.
Obviously, we hope that some doctor watching this now can help you and these other girls.
Yes.
And so that's the message of this morning. Thank you so much for being with us. And our best to you, all of you girls and you mothers who are fighting for your children. Thank you so much, doctor.
That was an amazing visual. Those of you who haven't seen it yet, I wanted you to hear it. Dr. Batar thought it would be a good idea as well, because you can hear verbally the tics and the discomfort and the awkwardness of the things that were happening, seemingly out of control of these two girls that they were interviewing with the parents there on the Today Show. Dr. Batar, I want to get your assessment based on our discussions prior, now that we've seen this.
The thing that really upsets me is what the psychiatrist says at the end, which it's partially true. You first look at the environmental issues, you look at the toxic issues. But then she said that once you've ruled those out, then you have no choice but to look at it as a psychogenic issue. But there's no discussion of the fact that perhaps the rocks that they turned over were not all the rocks that were there. They only turned over the rocks that they chose to turn over.
Right.
For instance, the first thing is, what type of detoxification pathway assessment did they do? In other words, did they check for the methyl tetrahydrofolate reductase enzyme deficiency? Did they look for glutathione S transferase issue? Did they look at their genetic predisposition for the ApoE aspect from getting rid of mercury? One of the girls clearly said she was on Adderall. How many of these girls have had a detoxigenomic type testing done to see their pathways, whether they're intact? For instance, you or I could take aspirin, but a third person that has a pathway that's damaged or compromised in some way has a genetic predisposition for the inability to excrete the salicylate within aspirin or whatever kind of components that they may be in a certain drug that we've taken,
right,
they will end up having an impairment of that particular pathway, which will now cause downstream some type of a effect, whether it's a muscular or neurological, an endocrine type of effect, whatever it is, it's going to cause some kind of effect, some type of an impairment in that pathway. So these metabolic processes, as we've discussed before, Robert, you know, there's over 100,000 reactions taking place per second per cell in the body. And we don't know how some of these pathways could be impaired, but nobody's even talked about that. They just said, well, is there a toxicological issue or an infectious issue? For God's sake, they don't even recognize mercury as being a toxicological issue. If they did recognize it, then they wouldn't be putting amalgams in people's mouths and injecting
right.
them vaccines that are laden with this stuff. So how can you expect somebody, the state, to even adequately do their job of ruling out infectious or toxic issues when they don't even acknowledge the second most toxic substance known to man as a toxicological component?
Yeah, isn't it amazing? And some of the pronouncements that they made last week when this first came out, and we even mentioned some of them, we've ruled out toxicology. We've ruled out that it could be anything in the school environment. We've ruled out any drugs and on, although they never mentioned the word vaccine, although recently CNN claimed that they've ruled out Gardasil because it wasn't given to 100% of those girls. But what about all the vaccines and the booster shots during the teen years? What about the flu shot? No mention of that. This girl started, one of them was back in October, the fall season. That's often when they're starting to target these girls when they go in for their checkups to say, oh, why not, while you're here, get a flu shot, of course, 25 micrograms of mercury. And yet you heard the parents there say, we're being lied to. They're telling us we've had tests we haven't had. They haven't put any of these girls together. They see them individually. And you've got 12 girls, 12 in the same school with this. You know how rare that is? It's unheard of.
You know why it's unheard of? Because it doesn't happen, Robert. It only happens when there's something that has gone into the system that shouldn't have gone in there.
Right.
And the parents are absolutely right. The state's lying to them.
Yes.
They're blatantly lying to them.
Well, if anybody knows anybody up there in Leroy, New York, at the end of that Today Show segment, you heard that they said, well, what do you want to come out of this? We hope that a doctor out there is listening. Well, we're listening. Dr. Batar is listening. I'd love to see them come down and see you.
Well, Robert, I'll tell you, it would be a very simple thing. Even if none of them wanted treatment or only some of them wanted treatment, there's two, maybe three tests that I would take them through, and we would have an answer in literally less than a week. And I can tell you that I am highly, highly suspicious that this is something related to a component of mercury and something that they've taken, ingested in their system or been exposed to somehow. I have no idea what it could be, but you know, they would get a basic blood profile done, then they would have a challenge done, and they would end up having a little bit of genetic predisposition testing done to see which pathways could be impaired. And I can bet you $1 million that there would be a commonality that would be flashing as if it was highlighted with a highlighter.
Well, that's something we're putting out there to our listeners all over North America, particularly in this state, upstate New York, outside of Buffalo, Leroy, New York. If you know anybody, get them in touch with us. The toll-free number here is 866-939-BELL, 866-939-2355. We'll make sure we can get a hold of Dr. Batar and his staff. If any of you know anyone up there, we're putting it out there. We want to lend a helping hand and get to the bottom of this while the government seems to be covering up something very obvious, or should be obvious to find. Dr. Batar, let's take a quick break here. We'll come back. We'll also talk about the Rotatec virus, for the rotavirus, they're saying now that the best thing you can do is to stop breastfeeding. Oh my gosh, could it get any more ridiculous? Well, we'll find out when we come back from this break. Dr. Rasha Batar is with us, Advanced Medicine Monday on the Robert Scott Bell Show.
If you're looking for FDA-approved radio, you're listening to the wrong show. This is the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Pharmacological research from universities all over the world have proven that papaya supplements have tremendous health benefits. At the One Stop Health Shop, that's one-stop-health-shop.com, you'll find our international bestseller, Papaya Leaf Extract. Its natural probiotic formula supports your white blood cells, reduces oxidative stress, and strengthens your immune system. Papaya is one of the richest sources of antioxidants in the world and up to 20 times more powerful than vitamin E. One Stop Health Shop carries a large fermented papaya product selection. Our supplements are all natural, certified organic, GMO-free, and made right here in Australia. But they are shipped to you anywhere in the world free of charge. Take advantage of our limited time down under prices and order now. Don't wait. Visit the One Stop Health Shop. That's one-stop-health-shop.com for all your nutraceutical needs and get free shipping on all products ordered. one-stop-health-shop.com.
Hey there, this is Mike. Got a couple of things you may want to check out. Did you know about the website counterthink.com? These are some really hilarious, freedom-oriented, health-oriented, even political cartoons that you got to check out. counterthink.com. And if you want to know what's in your food, go check out foodinvestigations.com, where you've got a bunch of free mini documentaries, little videos there that you can watch that will show you what's in your food and what's not in your food. We talk about Total Blueberry Pomegranate Cereal made by General Mills. Did you know it has no blueberries in it and no pomegranates? We got the video right there on foodinvestigations.com. And if you really want to know what's in your food, your medicine, your personal care products, and so on, head over to naturalnews.com. We're publishing about 12 articles a day now, everything from healing superfoods to the dangerous chemicals in your products, foods, and medicines. Naturalnews.com. Check it out.
With natural and man-made disasters and economic turmoil, if we don't get well prepared, we will most certainly regret it. Good readiness must include storage of high-quality food that will build us up rather than tear us down. Much of the storable food available is full of bad fats, salt, sugar, nutrient-poor refined foods, and even MSG. In response, EnerHealth Botanicals has created our 40-day and 40-night 100% organic preparedness pail. It's GMO-free and has a 10 to 20-year shelf life if stored at 60 degrees or less. Some of the items need cooking, some can be eaten dry, while some can be soaked and sprouted. These are selling out fast at third the price of storable food packages. Call us at 866-762-9238. That's 866-762-9238. Or go to enerfood.com, enerfood.com. 866-762-9238. Or go to enerfood.com.
rocking the health world through the power of radio. It's the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Remember those years ago, Dr. Bitar, when we covered together the Desiree Jennings story? You saw her, and it was a strange thing, just like this, although it was only one person versus 12. Tip of health and cheerleader, interestingly enough, and where she went. But I mean, how was it that out of all of the places she could find, because she wasn't being helped at some of the top institutions in the world, how did she find you to begin with?
That's an interesting story. I was watching the video online in my office. One of my staff had pulled it up, and Josh, my special projects manager, said, "Dr. Bitar, you can help her." And I said, "Josh, we can help everybody. It's just whether people want the help or not." And I turned around and walked away, and one of my other staff members walked in and had just watched the same video somewhere else and went to another part of the office and said, "Dr. Bitar, what can we do? How can we reach her?" And I said, I have no idea how to reach her, but again, people have to find their own way here.
Yes.
And what was interesting was that staff member said to me, "Well, isn't there some way we could try to reach her?" And I thought for a second, and it was just like a quick thought in my head, and then I blew it off. But something told me, pick up your phone and call. And I called a friend of mine, J.B. Hanley. J.B. Hanley is one of the parents that was interviewed for – I actually had treated his son for a short while. He was in the book Evidence of Harm by Kirby, mm-hmm. New York Times bestseller. And JB was the person who actually got an organization started called Generation Rescue. And so I called JB. He happened to be getting on a plane, and I hadn't talked to him for probably 2 years. And he answered the phone, "Hey, Dr. Bitar, how are you?" And we had our quick little greetings. And then I said, "JB, there's this girl that's on one of these shows, Washington Redskins cheerleader, and you know about her?" And he said, "Yeah." And before I could even say anything, he said, "Do you think you could help her?" Mm. And I said, "I think it's Mercury." And he said, the president of Generation Rescue at that time was on a flight from California to Washington, D.C. to meet with this girl. And he said, "I'll call you back in 4 hours. About 4 or 5 hours later, he did call me back, and he said that they're in D.C., and this was like on a Friday late afternoon. Long story short, Jenny McCarthy, who was involved with J.B. Hanley and Generation Rescue,
right?
Between J.B. and Jenny McCarthy, by his Sunday night, they had arranged for her to be at my clinic, and she arrived Monday morning, and she was actually having respiratory issues at that time. She was actually having 15 to 30-second periods of anoxia where she couldn't breathe, where her respiratory muscles were essentially giving out. So she was very, very close to the end when she got to us, and the rest is history. We turned around pretty fast with the grace of God.
What an extraordinary story how that outreach happened from your own staff making an awareness, and then it leapt through. And Spirit, as I talk about, as we mentioned from time to time, just orchestrates these things from above, and we just have to be open to it. And in this case, who knows with the Leroy 12, where this will go, even if it's one family that gets wind of this. And you know, we have a lot of listeners out there, so I wouldn't doubt it, but you know, we're putting it out there for all the good purposes that we can to help the people that need the help the most. And, you know, more and more people do. I was raised as, you know some of my story at the time when doctors told all, you know, moms at the time, "Hey, you know, breastfeeding's overrated. Take this stuff in the powder, the can. It's great. It's high tech. It's better." And I projectiled it out because I was a smart kid, right? And my body knew. But now we're talking about another attempt to do that again in relation to this other vaccine, which initially I think it was recalled. It was the Rotatec rotavirus vaccine because it was causing, I believe I'm saying this correctly, intestinal insusception. Basically, the intestines were collapsing in the children it was given to, and if they didn't have surgery immediately, they were dying. And they brought it back out, and now they're saying, "Oh my gosh, we found in this study," this was a CDC-sponsored study, National Centers for Immunization and Respiratory Disease study, that there's an inhibitory effect of breast milk against the live oral rotavirus vaccine. And you think, wow, that's great. It's proof that breast milk has antiviral properties. Instead, they're like, "Wait, stop the breast milk. We want the vaccine in there."
Yeah, you know, there's got to be at some point, some saturation point of stupidity. You know, you would think that after you've got so much water in a sponge, it just can't hold anymore. And yet they just redefine how stupid the logic that they use to come up with this stuff. And intussusception is something that's life-threatening.
Yes.
And essentially, if you think of it as a sock, when the sock comes down and then it kind of overlaps itself as it goes back up, it's that's what intussusception is. It's like a prolapse of the
the intestinal wall, or the entire intestine just collapsing?
Well, it actually collapses within itself. So think of it as a sleeve.
Yeah.
So think of a sock that you pull up and then you fold it down over itself and then you fold it back up, but not all the way. So it's got that, you know, S shape in the wall.
Wow. That's going to be brutal. I mean, you're literally going to drop and stop everything from moving through there.
Well, absolutely, and it causes a mass effect because the vascular wall, it has pressure on it that shouldn't, and it can lead to death. But the point is that if there's anything that anybody knows about a newborn baby, even it has nothing to do with education or your training as a medical professional. I mean, any farmer, for God's sake, knows that a baby. Okay, I had a baby eland born on my farm today, and our last baby eland that was born was about a week ago. The mother wouldn't feed it, and we obviously wanted to try to get the baby to feed. But if the mother does not feed the baby within the first 48 hours, in other words, the baby doesn't get colostrum, the baby will die. And this is pretty much true across the board with most species.
Right.
It's true with cows. It's true with horses. It's true with pretty much everything. They got to get that colostrum in there. Now, every farmer throughout history has known that a baby that's fed milk from the mother is going to be healthier, stronger, smarter. It's going to grow better. It's going to be more intelligent. I mean, everybody knows this. And yet they're trying to say take milk away from the mother? I just don't even understand it, Robert. I mean, how can you get to this level? And they're really now scraping the bottom because pretty much every human being, I mean, I bet you every layperson out there that knows nothing about medicine, doesn't even care about medicine, would hear the title of this story and say, what?
Yeah, yeah. Some would say
that's
you're making
God
that up.
God designed our system, for God's sake. That's one reason that every species on the planet, the mother makes milk. As far as mammals are concerned, every mother makes milk.
Well, how warped and twisted must your mind be to come to the conclusion based on this study that the CDC sponsored that, you know, instead of increasing breast milk consumption and promoting it for the health of, and defense of the, you know, the baby, the immune system strengthening, which should be a lot, would be anybody with a lick of sense logical conclusion. Instead, it's like, wait a second, this means we have to prevent breast milk from occurring or else this vaccine, the virus that we're introducing, which is a live virus, it won't proliferate enough to create the antibody response that they hope to get. In the meantime, hopefully we won't see any intestinal collapse on the way.
Yeah, it's like, let's not go with the design that God created. Let's go with the design that we came up with just now. And as you said, hope that the side effect of this doesn't happen. I mean, yeah. It's the same thing with the vaccines. Let's give them a known poison in an attempt to stop a potential infectious process from starting. But we're knowingly introducing the most toxic substance.
Incredible.
Known to man, or the second most toxic, and we convert it into the most toxic. It's just ludicrous that this type of logic is, I mean, and there is no logic to it. That's the whole point. There is no logic to it. And, you know, but before 30, 40 years ago when they started this whole vaccine thing and when in 1991 they decided on the National Vaccine Initiative to stamp out all childhood diseases 22 years ago, you know, they may have had an excuse because they didn't know any better. Now they know better. And the reason that they're covering this up is because they know they fell asleep at the wheel. And so they cannot admit a mistake. And what are they doing? They're perpetuating the same mistake.
They're compounding it. And, of course, in the same way, they're compounding their stupidity. I mean, if they weren't stupid enough already, they've made themselves look even stupider.
And I think that the majority of the people that are involved with this, I mean, the higher-ups obviously know. But, you know, Cheryl Atkinson, when she interviewed me, for CBS World News Tonight, there was a congressional press conference that was held, and Congressman Dan Burton had asked me to be there. And it's actually, the video clip is on our site, but Dan Burton had also asked a couple of other people to be there, and Boyd Haley was one of them. And when Cheryl Atkinson was talking to Dr. Haley, she said, why would anybody cover this up? You know, why would they do this intentionally? And Boyd said it, I thought, very well. He said they covered it up not because it was a conspiratorial type thing or, you know, whatever people want to believe. He said they started it because it was a mistake. And then when they realized it was a mistake, it was too late for them to admit that it was a mistake. And so what they decided to do was just to perpetuate it, hoping that nobody figures it out because they couldn't afford to let the world know that they made such an unbelievable mistake, that they caused this problem to occur. And, you know, if you think about it, Robert, a man, and actually any not just a man, a woman even, a parent you can pretty much mess with anybody's possessions, their property, their assets, you know, even their own health. And but when you start to cross that line is your children. I mean, yeah. People have gone to war for much less than that.
Sure.
And so can you imagine the catastrophe that would be created if it was widespread knowledge and everybody knew the truth that people's children had been sacrificed, that pretty much every child that's been born after 1990 has been maimed by this, that yeah. everybody that's now at the age of 22 or younger has been affected by this. And we all have been to a certain extent, but we weren't getting pounded. Yours and my generation was not pounded in the first day on the planet. We got vaccines that was spread out over the first couple of years of life. In 1991 is when they decided to start inoculating children on the first day on the planet with all the vaccines.
Right.
So yeah. Now it's 2012. So 21, 22 years of age, everybody that's that age or below that went through the supposed schedule of vaccines has been affected to some level.
Sure. And of course, we talk about the compounding of stupidity. I see it politically. I see it as far as we talk about immunologically and vaccinology as well. The law of reversed effort now. They're trying so hard. They're squeezing harder. They're pushing harder against everything. And of course, more people are slipping from their grip. So they're trying to mandate more and say more absurd things. And it's backfiring, much like I see it politically, the backfiring that is occurring as they try every time they try to ignore Ron Paul even more people learn about him. Even as, you know, the South Carolina thing that happened, next in the state over from you in North Carolina, some would say, well, he only got 13%, but he got almost five times the amount of votes he got 4 years ago. That is huge in a state that he didn't visit much and they didn't expect him to do well at all in. So for me, there are very positive things happening in so many ways. And for them to make a declaration like they did in this rotavirus vaccine study, it's going to mean they're going to lose so many more parents because of the absurdity of that statement.
Anybody with any common sense has already, that may have doubted their credibility before, now absolutely does not believe in them whatsoever.
Well, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back and wrap up Advanced Medicine Monday with Dr. Rashi Bitar. Of course, all of the archives are linkable through robertscottbell.com as well as at medicalrewind.com. Dr. Bitar has some directly. You can find them easy. And a full year now almost worth of these things. Lots of healing to catch up on if you're just now joining us on the Robert Scott Bell Show. We'll be back with Dr. Bitar after this.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hello, this is Jonathan Wagner. We have an internet website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, that carries many of the products discussed on Robert's show, including 100% whole food chromium and selenium, silica, as well as sovereign silver and Nordic naturals. Choosetobehealthy.com features the Rolls Royce of probiotics. It's Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Dr. O'Hara, a world-renowned microbiologist, formulated a unique probiotic that blends ancient Japanese fermentation methods with 21st century technology. No refrigeration is needed. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics contains the strongest lactic acid bacteria known to man based on scientific laboratory research. 6.25 times stronger. Quite simply, it works and works very well. So go to our website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, or call us toll-free, 866-424-1077. That's 866-424-1077. We're here to help.
With natural and man-made disasters and economic turmoil, if we don't get well prepared, we will most certainly regret it. Good readiness must include storage of high-quality food that will build us up rather than tear us down. Much of the storable food available is full of bad fats, salt, sugar, nutrient-poor refined foods, and even MSG. In response, EnerHealth Botanicals has created our 40-day and 40-night 100% organic preparedness pail. It's GMO-free and has a 10 to 20-year shelf life if stored at 60 degrees or less. Some of the items need cooking, some can be eaten dry, while some can be soaked and sprouted. These are selling out fast at third the price of storable food packages. Call us at 866-762-9238. That's 866-762-9238. Or go to enerfood.com, enerfood.com. 866-762-9238. Or go to enerfood.com.
in the health world through the power of radio. It's the Robert Scott Bell Show.
You know, Dr. Bhattar, as we were talking about the mistakes of the vaccinologist in modern medicine compounding, as you mentioned, they were just trying to cover up, as Boyd Haley had said. It reminded me of 4 years ago in the debates, Mike Huckabee and Ron Paul were going at it over an issue. It wasn't about vaccines. It was about foreign policy, but it was similar to like a small group of men defending vaccinations, right? Hijacking integrity in medicine and saying, we must do this. And I thought we give about a minute to play this. Would you like to hear this?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right, let's do this from 4 years ago, Mike Huckabee and Ron Paul.
A small number of people called the neoconservatives hijacked our foreign policy. They're responsible, not the American people. They're not responsible. We shouldn't punish them.
Congressman, we are one nation. We can't be divided. We have to be one nation under God. That means if we make a mistake, we make it as a single country, the United States of America, not the divided states of America.
When we make a mistake, it is the obligation of the people through their representatives to correct the mistake, not to continue the mistake.
And that's what we do on the floor of the Senate?
No, we've dug a hole for ourselves and we've dug a hole for our party. We're losing elections and we're going down next year if we don't change it. And it has all to do with foreign policy, and we have to wake up to this fact.
Even if we lose elections, we should not lose our honor, and that is more important than the Republican Party.
We have lost over 5,000 Americans killed in Afghanistan and Iraq, and plus the civilians killed. How many more do you want to lose? How long are you going to be there? How long? What do we have to pay to save face? That's all we're doing is saving face. It's time
thank
we came home.
Gentlemen, thank you.
See, isn't that similar, eerily similar, what they were talking about here about neoconservative foreign policy? It's like neocons have taken over medicine in the vaccine thing, saving honor, not caring about the lives that are lost. For what purpose? With the Rotatec vaccine, stop breastfeeding. I mean, I see a lot of similarity in the thought form out in the political world as well.
I see it synonymous, Robert. I see it one and the same.
Really, eerily similar. And that's why I love what we get to do together each week, because we take these principles and apply them to every area of life. It's not like you can isolate out and say that's just a toe. It has nothing to do with the rest of the body. Those are intestines in a little baby. That doesn't matter. Don't breastfeed. Take the shot. I mean, that's the kind of thing that is lost on so much of modern medicine and the modern body politic.
And that's exactly why we are in the sad state of health in our nation, just as we are in a sad state of political discourse in the world now, because whatever happens to the U.S., so happens to the rest of the world. So what you're seeing is the same, as you said, eerie similarity. You also see the same consequences and the same results, because healthcare is going down the tubes just like our nation is going down the tubes. And why? Because of this type of mentality.
Ego,
where you perpetuate a mistake.
Yeah, so perpetuate the mistake, defend. We can't acknowledge we made a mistake. And Ron Paul, a physician in there, going, listen, we got to acknowledge where we've gone wrong to correct it. And Mike Huckabee at the time 4 years ago saying, no, we can't admit the mistake. We just have to make it together. I mean, how absurd is that?
And he's getting applause for it. That's even more absurd, which means that the people out there that actually agree with that or don't see the weakness in that argument.
Well, exactly. And, you know, there are a lot of people that still haven't woken up. And listen, it's a global phenomenon, as this show is, as the outreach, as your book, The 9 Steps to Keep the Doctor Away, selling all over the world. By the way, all of our listeners in Australia, guess what? Dr. Bhattar is coming to Adelaide University on February 15th. That's a Wednesday midweek. It'll be daytime when it's nighttime here and vice versa. So we're going to be talking to you, hopefully, if it all works out, when you're in Australia in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, actually, I'm going to be giving 3 different lectures there. I think at the university it's only one, but I'm giving a lecture in Sydney, Brisbane, and Melbourne. So
nice.
I'll be there for about a week.
Well, I have the link up in today's blog notes at robertscottbell.com. Those of you listening in Australia, you want to see Dr. Bhattar, it's only $25. That is a bargain in anybody's money, and I would love to see you there. But the people of Australia are going to benefit from your knowledge there. So I'm so glad that you're getting around the world as we do here every week.
Well, anybody that's out there, we've got a lot of patients that have actually come from the southeast part of the world, and I'm hoping to get to see some of my patients that I haven't seen in a while. And anybody else, come up, and if you listen to the Robert Scott Bell Show, if you listen to Medical Rewind, Advanced Medical Mondays, with Robert and I, please come up and tell me so. Introduce yourself. I would love to hear from you.
No, that'd be awesome. It's a, like I said, it's really fun. And you know, the messages that we're getting out and sharing, recognize that not everybody's picked up or heard it yet. We know that. But at the same time, you look at the dawning of the American Revolution, the first American Revolution. They say it was maybe 10, 11, 12% of the population that even wanted it. Most of the rest were, I don't care one way or the other. And a lot of them were violently opposed to this kind of statement of independence, this declaration, and what it meant and what it led to. And here we are, I think we're in the midst of the second American Revolution, whether people recognize it or want to realize it or not. The body politic is resisting in the same way those dunderheads from the CDC are saying, you must stop drinking breast milk because it's interfering with our vaccine.
Yeah, you know, at a certain point, people are just going to be laughing at them. I remember when Obama was on the air in November of 2000 and must have been November 2010. If you recall, Robert, when they were talking about the bird flu, the swine flu, they were talking about how it was estimated to kill 60 million U.S. citizens. They were expecting it to have a 20% of the U.S. population was going to die from this.
I remember we covered it on the air back then, too. I mean, it was like, oh, my gosh, here they go. They're going to cull the humans now.
Right, exactly. And the thing was that I remember I was traveling at that time. And if people had listened to the government and that the fear-mongering and had taken the vaccine, that's exactly what would have happened, because people were dying from the vaccine, not from the H1N1 flu. It was from the vaccine that they were going to cause that problem. And I remember when I was traveling through the airport and Obama's there and all the TV was on, and people were literally, I'm not exaggerating, they were looking at the TV and laughing. Like, just what an absurd thing to say. And people just refused in masses to take that vaccine. People in Germany, 93% of the population absolutely refused to have the vaccine despite the government paying for it. In the United States, there were nursing organizations from the state of New York and from Washington State that filed lawsuits to their Supreme Court of their respective states because they were mandating the vaccine for healthcare professionals, and they refused to take it, and they won their lawsuits. So there was mass refusal to take this vaccine. Even professionals that they had, even the doctors that they had on the popular media, even some of those balked and said, no, there's not enough study that's been done behind this, and they shouldn't be given. And I remember one of those segments, because we had the trailer playing before a little lecture that I'd done for people that were in our database. This doctor kind of looks to the side and he says, no, I would not take it, and I would not let my children take it. And the person that was interviewing him, they stopped and they're looking around like, wait a second, that's not what this guy was supposed to say.
Yeah.
You know, what's going on? Why are you saying this? So I think that was 2 years ago, almost 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Now people know so much more, and the ridiculousness of this has just, I believe, crossed that threshold. And I think that now people just don't trust what the government says. I mean, you just can't trust it. So many people that are voting for Ron Paul in the news polls for the South Carolina primary, I was reading, they were people in the 20s, people 25 years old that they were interviewing. They said that if Ron Paul is not on the Republican ticket, or if Ron Paul is not going to be running independently, I am not going to vote, period, because there's nobody else that's talking the truth.
Yeah.
And it was just – I mean, these are people that are saying they're refusing to vote because there's no point in voting.
Right. They've crossed the Rubicon, so to speak. And that's the point that they don't want to acknowledge or admit in the old media and the status quo in the political realm, that this is a different era. The rules that have happened in the past are not applying anymore, and people are seeing through it. And the more they squeeze, the more they lose. And that level of absurdity they've hit with the Rotatec virus thing, vaccine, telling women to stop breastfeeding. Now, it's another mistake on their part, but one we welcome. Go ahead. Let's go ahead and declare medical martial law. Everybody must be vaccinated. Watch how fast they're going to lose it all. And that's where they are now. But thankfully, to what your work is, Dr. Batar, and the 9 steps to keep the doctor away, playing around the world, that book now, more and more people are leaving the so-called medical matrix and waking up to the reality that we're bringing here on Advanced Medicine Monday, the Medical Rewind, every week.
That's actually a great way of putting it, the medical matrix.
Well, I appreciate you being here. And, of course, we've got some more shows to do before you head out to Australia, but we'll even get you out there if we can. And I appreciate you so much. You know that. Thank you to everybody for being here for Advanced Medicine Monday. 866-939-BELL if you have any questions or comments throughout the week. In the meantime, go to robertscottbell.com. I have the link out to all the things that you need to know, including Dr. Batar and his book. And, of course, the power to heal is yours.
The Robert Scott, Bell Show.
With natural and man-made disasters and economic turmoil, if we don't get well prepared, we will most certainly regret it. Good readiness must include storage of high-quality food that will build us up rather than tear us down. Much of the storable food available is full of bad fats, salt, sugar, nutrient-poor refined foods, and even MSG. In response, EnerHealth Botanicals has created our 40-day and 40-night 100% organic preparedness pail. It's GMO-free and has a 10 to 20-year shelf life if stored at 60 degrees or less. Some of the items need cooking, some can be eaten dry, while some can be soaked and sprouted. These are selling out fast at third the price of storable food packages. Call us at 866-762-9238. That's 866-762-9238. Or go to enerfood.com, E-N-E-R-F-O-O-D.com. 866-762-9238. Or go to E-N-E-R-F-O-O-D.com.
Robert Scott Bell Show.